morning and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You may be seated. I apologize to begin. I should have warned you to stretch before we began. If you have fitness goals for the new year, you've gotten a good start this morning, right? Yeah, anybody's legs tired? A couple of things I want to say before we begin here, especially to our visitors and those who are new to St. Andrews. Number one, we do know that Christmas was last Tuesday. The songs were not a mistake. Though the world begins to celebrate Christmas in late October, in the church we have Advent, the season of waiting and preparing our hearts for the coming of the Christ child. And the celebration begins on December the 25th. And it's not just one day, it's a season of feasting that lasts 12 days, which you knew because you know the song, you know. On the first day of Christmas, So we're in the middle of the feasting season, of the festive season of Christmas, of celebrating the coming of Christ into the world to save. So we're going to keep celebrating. This is a service of celebration. The next thing is, and this I'm only speaking to a couple of you in saying this, but if you're wondering, after all of the songs and all of the readings, and now I'm getting up here, how long is this service going to be? I say to you what the angels pretty much always lead with whenever they make an appearance, and that is, do not be afraid. I'll only be up here for a moment. This morning, the gospel proclamation has happened through the reading of the word. The gospel has been preached through the scriptures themselves. My job is brief and simple. It is simply to draw out the truth for us to take a good, clear look at so that we can be invited to respond to it together as we come to the table in a few minutes. So, let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you with all our hearts and celebrate the reality that you have come into this world to save us. Lord, we need you so much. And here you are. You are with your people. Move, we pray, in the power of your Holy Spirit to reveal to us how much you love us, to help us overcome the obstacles, Lord, that are in our way so that we can receive that love with joy today. We pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So Christmas is a season that we associate very heavily with children. And for some people, that may be a joyful thing. For others, painful, and everywhere in between. But from the Old Testament prophecies that a child will be born to us, that a little child will lead them, to the reality of the Christ child in the manger, to kids with presents underneath the tree, Christmas is a season where we think, perhaps more than any other time of the year, about children. In our gospel reading today from the first chapter of John, there is a core truth of Scripture, something that we ought to hold on to. And my hope is that this thought of children in this Christmas season will point us to this, and that forevermore, when Christmas comes and children are around and we're thinking about kids, that this truth will come through loud and clear and that we will not forget it. And here is the truth. I will read again briefly from John chapter 1, starting in verse 9. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, but they did not receive him. But hear this, friends. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. In this Christmas season, and in every Christmas season to come that you see, let all the things about kids be a reminder to you of this great gospel truth. That God came into the world as a human child so that you might become a divine child. God became a human child that you might become a child of God. That is the gospel truth, friends. That is the gospel truth that we want to receive this morning. In our lives, we go around seeking love in so many places and trying to deal with the lack of it in so many ways. But we don't have to look any further. God could have revealed himself in so many ways. He is almighty. He is creator. But perhaps the main way that he has made himself known to us is as Father. And through the Son, he has made you and I his very children, co-heirs with Christ. Friends, this means that God's love for us is unconditional. It is not contingent. In the same way that a good parent loves a child, not because they are strong, not because of what they can bring to the family, not because of what they can accomplish, not even because of their potential, but simply because they are their child, perhaps even in part because they are small and weak and in need. God loves us with that same kind of tenderness. He loves you with that same kind of tenderness. He loves you because you are his. His love is already given. It is not in question. It is yours to receive. And so, friends, this morning, hear the gospel proclamation. If you were afraid, if you were worn out, you are loved, child, son, daughter, and your Father means to give you good gifts. He has plans for you, purpose for you that extends beyond the horizon of this life. In him, you are enough. You don't have to be afraid. You do not have to hide. You are precious, beloved. It's okay that you are small. You're not what you accomplish. You are not your failures. You are loved. It's safe to be generous. It is safe to forgive. You don't have to build walls to protect yourself anymore. You don't have to numb the pain. You can lean in and feel it. He will be there to meet you. There are no strings attached to this gift. It is freely given. You only have to receive it, and with it, the promise of relationship and a beautiful inheritance. In a moment, we will come to the table, and in coming to the table, we come receiving this experience, this image, this reality of the love of God through the broken body and blood of the Son, this evidence to us of God's unconditional, unbelievable love, the truth that he has made us his very children. Love to the uttermost. And as you come, I invite you to sit in the reality that you are children of God. But I don't just want you to remember that truth this morning. The invitation goes beyond that. I invite you to act on the truth that you are children of God, to celebrate the truth that you are children of God. The invitation today in this festal season of Christmas is to celebrate the reality that you are God's child. What would it look like to celebrate today, this week, the good news that God has adopted you as his very own? We think of all kinds of things that God might call us to do. The church calls us at times to fast, into times of penance and of silence and of quiet. But it also calls us into seasons of feasting and celebration. These things go together and we need them both. We're called to celebrate not because everything is okay and everything feels good and perhaps you're extremely happy and free from trouble, but it is the opposite. We celebrate because in Christ we trust that all things will be well. And so while we still live in this present darkness, in this world where we are afflicted by pain and all kinds of brokenness and death itself, it is by faith that we celebrate the reality that we are children of God. It is by faith that we reach out and celebrate a thing that we have not yet laid our hands on, God's promise of an inheritance of eternal life and being joined to him in every way conceivable. To celebrate God in this way is not to celebrate as the world celebrates. The world celebrates to forget its troubles. It celebrates to try and fill the emptiness. But we celebrate as those who have received something greater than the lottery, greater than a championship season. And when we celebrate in the midst of our pain, it is a reminder to us. It actually helps us trust that God is good and that he is true and that he will keep his promises. It's testimony to the world that we have hope in the midst of our troubles. And so today, we continue to celebrate. It's what we've been doing and it's what we will continue to do in this service. But the invitation as you come to the rail, as you come receiving Christ's body and blood, is to remember that you are his child and to ask the question of God, Lord, today, how would you have me celebrate this reality that I might believe it more and show it to the world? It may take some imagination. This isn't an invitation that we're necessarily used to receiving, but I bring it to you today and recognize that it truly is part of our walking out our faith in Christ. It's part of our discipleship. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have saved us. It is done. It is finished. You have made us your children. We pray by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning that you would help us to receive this truth with open arms and help us to live lives, especially in this season of Christmas, of celebration and of joy, because, Lord, we have more to be thankful for than anyone. And may we let the world see and know our joy in you. We pray in your name, Lord Christ, as you rule and reign forever. Amen.